Ace Podcast.
It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Craig.
And we're coming to you from the beautiful, empty Lee Berry Studios.
Very empty.
Nobody here but Front D.
I like it this way, though.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But yeah, Front D's not even doing anything. He's staring. he's like watching the paint dry.
Playing video games or
what
something.
What he's doing.
But anyway, I know what we're doing. We're recording a podcast because we don't stop working.
We don't stop.
It doesn't matter if it's the week between Christmas and New Year's or not.
Because it's not, you know, it's not like people can go find another podcast.
No.
They've only got us.
60,000 new ones every month.
Nope, it's just us.
Yeah.
And we're not going to go to sleep and let people down on our
I'm not.
We're going to let them down for a lot of other reasons.
Correct. Entertainment-wise, whatever.
Lack of comedic skills.
Exactly. Speaking of comedic skills, how about this story?
Man who thought... Here's the story.
Okay.
Ready? Man who thought he was Hitler...
What?
...lit stranger's coat on fire... sentence to supervision.
What kind of sentence is that? Hey, does that mean like he can see through walls?
Oh, supervision. Sometimes your humor gets past me and it takes me a second. That one had to go around the block.
I'm sorry.
No, I got
supervision.
It. I get supervision.
Vision. Yeah, like Superman. But anyway.
Can I continue?
If a judge told me I was going to be supervised, mister, I'd be, oh, please no.
In the spirit of Craig, can I just say, is it okay if I continue now?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Ready? And it goes like this.
Hit it.
A mentally ill man who thought he was Hitler and said he wanted to do harm to Chinese and Jewish people and lit a stranger's coat on fire was sentenced Wednesday to 20 years of supervision by state psychiatric authorities.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a little different. Is he going to be in the...
That was a lot different.
Like, is he actually going to be in the loony bin, I wonder? Or?
I don't know. We got to come up with a whole list of names for the loony bin.
Yeah, the old Silly Willy...
Stop. Okay. Get back with me later. The sentence means Dung Din Pon, 42.
There's the first. No wonder he's crazy. His parents named him Dung.
Dung Din. Hey, Dung Din, what you doing, huh?
Hey, to go with you here, Dung Din.
Dung Din Head, Dung Din Head. Sentenced Mr. Dung Din Head, 42. He'll head to the Oregon State Mental Hospital for treatment, and he could later be released back into the community to serve the remainder of his 20 years.
Well...
Even out in the community, he will be supervised by a state psychiatric security review board, which is responsible for making sure mental health workers regularly visit with him and check to see that he's taking his medication and not playing with matches.
Uh-huh.
I made the matches part up.
Well, that's important. Because
sometimes I say stuff to see if I get, like, if you even believe. But you've got it in front of you. You wouldn't believe me.
I believe you.
Could you, for now, when I read, would you turn the thing upside down?
Or, no,
where you
I'm
don't,
not
so
doing
you don't
that.
Know if I'm really.
Because sometimes I plan my little jump ins, like I'll read ahead.
Oh, you plan?
Sometimes.
You're a planner all of a sudden?
What do you mean all of a sudden?
Investigators say that on January 9th, 2016, that's almost a year ago, a fan walked up to a woman as she stood next to food carts in downtown Portland at Southwest 6th Avenue and Washington Street.
So this happened here. Why was I thinking this was like a...
Because his name is Dung Din Pon.
Dung Din Pon.
Investigated anyway, so...
you swim into Dung Din Pon.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
The woman, Jusun Park.
These names are awesome.
37. Well, maybe that's why he had it out for, because her name is Jusun. He thought it was J-E-W instead of J-O-O.
Oh, I bet you're right.
He thought she was Jewish, but it's just Jusun Park. She was visiting Portland from South Korea. Well, that blows that theory out of the water. She's from South Korea.
But her last name's Park.
Yeah. There's a lot of questionable things
this
in the story.
Yes.
Anyway, so she was visiting Portland from South Korea, and investigators say Pan apparently thought she was Chinese.
He said, you want some kung pao chicken?
That's not what he said.
He said, I like your coat on fire.
Investigators say Pan set some newspapers on fire and threw them on the woman's back.
That's not setting a coat on fire.
Threw some papers on your back. Threw some papers on your back. It was a tragedy.
You should be burning. Yeah.
You went off really off key there, by the way. You want to try that again?
Okay, no,
let me
good.
Go.
No,
ready?
They'll fix it in post.
Oh, good. The woman felt, now you've got to auto-tune it. The woman felt the heat. She felt the heat, all right, of the 2-foot-tall flames. Okay, someone was measuring it, but not giving her a bucket of water. These flames, they're 2-foot-tall.
Wait a minute, they get higher.
Anyway, jumped to the side and watched the newspapers fall to the ground. The flames burned a hole through her down jacket.
Hmm.
That's down.
Well,
jacket.
That is definitely setting her coat on fire.
That is. Witnesses said that while this was happening, Pan sat on the bench and stared at the woman. He later told Portland police officer and downtown security guard.
He said, you must be pregnant because you're glowing.
What? Anyway, he told a downtown security guard, downtown Jim Brown, that he struggles with paranoid schizophrenia and is, quote unquote, the next Hitler. He also told jailers that he thought he was Hitler.
And he even has the Hitler mustache, by the way, just FYI. But he's a little chubby, if you know what I'm saying.
Saying he's a little fat.
I see. He eats a lot, compadre.
Okay, so now we're going to get letters.
He eats
once
again.
Time. Okay, you know, I spend a lot of time on this show explaining to people we're just doing the voices. Now you're just being mean.
He thinks he's Hitler.
Well, that's true.
Who else?
Hitler ate Kung Pao chicken?
This Hitler did.
Defense attorney Deanna Horn on Wednesday said Pan was deeply embarrassed about his delusions and what he had done.
I feel so bad about what I do. I take my coat.
Especially because he immigrated from Vietnam, and we don't even have a Vietnam dialect. We're just kind of, we don't have it. And
no.
Now you feel bad for talking about Kung Pao chicken, and he's from Vietnam. Idiot. With part of it, now you know what? I want you to write a letter to him and apologize.
Dear Mr. Dung.
Dear Mr. Dung Dillyhead. Can I get back to this?
You're the one that traveled.
Especially because he immigrated from Vietnam with part of his immediate family to escape the communist regime. Horn said her client's mental illness became apparent decades ago. Okay, lawyer, that's not something you probably want to say. Oh, yeah, I mean, it happened years ago. We're just now getting around to it. There was a safety net under him for a period of time, Horn said. When that safety net disappeared, almost was dissolving safety nets.
Was he a tightrope walker?
No. Yeah, he got real confident.
Yeah.
When his Hitlerisms got out of control, he didn't have the safety net anymore.
He's like, woohoo, I'm fine.
Anyway, things didn't go well for him.
No.
Pan apologized Wednesday for trying to burn the woman at the food cart.
I'm so sorry.
But said he didn't take his medications in the days leading up to the incident because workers at the medical clinic he went to went twice, told him they were out. Are we out of that?
The next sentence.
He also said he forgot.
Well, which is it? Were they out or did you forget?
I don't know. He forgot if they were out. I was so sick. I didn't take medication for a week, Pan told Multnomah County clerk. Court circuit. Let's start that over. I was so sick. I didn't take medication for a week. Pan told Multnomah County Circuit Judge Henry Cantor. That's a
Multnomah.
That name though.
Multnomah.
Cantor.
Oh, that's kind of a scary judge.
Even if I don't take medication for a day or 2 days, I get sick. I know myself. All I know is the most awesome part of the story.
Yeah.
Is you had a Vietnamese schizophrenic who thinks he's Hitler, walks into a bar.
Okay, it's my turn. Headline is a Florida man.
Oh, this is...
If you're going to rob somebody, I mean, you think you would know. That's a big guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this...
And I saw this video.
This is rich. This is good.
Headline is, a Florida man. Here's another Florida story.
I've said it. If I've said it once, I've said it maybe once or twice.
We're going to have to come up with a
Florida. It just got loonies.
We need a theme song. Maybe like Walking on Sunshine or something.
Yeah, at least, you know, people make fun of like Tennessee and whatnot.
Tennessee.
But at least we know how to count here. I'm looking at you, dangling chads.
A Florida man tried to rob a former WWE wrestler. Inside the ring, Shad Gaspard was one of the WWE's Crime Time, a painfully off-color caricature of two scheming street hustlers who delighted in throwing dice, stealing cars, and robbing white people, quote unquote.
So the irony here is this guy goes and tries to rob Crime Time.
Yes. His rallying cry was, money, money, yeah, yeah. Outside the ring, Gaspard is, unsurprisingly, not a criminal. He's a passionate actor.
Yeah, let's put quotes around that.
One who waxes poetic about Sidney Poitier's performance in A Raisin in the Sun and artfully recites Shakespeare's Henry V on command. Oh, I want to be able to do that. You just say, hey, Henry, and I just come up with some kind of, thou art walking this.
You said A Raisin in the Sun. All I could think of was Blister in the Sun.
Oh, that's a great song, but on Saturday night...
I'm sorry, that was for old people out there.
We're middle-aged dudes.
I bet Branflake would get it.
Branflake? We're going to bring him up a little later.
Yeah, Branflake.
Hold your Branflake comments.
I bet if I say Branflake, forget Raisin in the Sun. How about Blister in the Sun?
I've got a beef with Branflake. Anyway...
Those two things don't go together, do they?
On Saturday night...
You're like a brand muffin.
In a strange collision of irony and circumstance, the former violence-glorifying wrestler added another role to his growing demo reel, Crime Fighter. This time, however, as Gaspard stepped inside the impromptu ring that was a Valero station.
Valero?
Yeah, Valero.
You said Valero.
Station in Coral Springs, Florida, the 35-year-old was playing himself. All 6'7", 285 pounds of him. That's a big man.
Did he have a dachshund? Sorry, throwback.
I'm almost that.
You don't give me anything, are you?
I'm almost that size, but not quite. His real-life opponent was Jason Felix of North Lauderdale, Florida. He was only 5'8".
Here's the deal.
Hey, that's me.
Here's the deal. If I'm going to bag on you in the middle of a story,
yeah.
Could you at least act like you know what I'm talking about?
Why? You're bagging on me. I mean, just feel better going, you know, just continuing.
Okay, all right.
So he was my size. He wasn't as...
Wow.
Yeah. Going up against 6'7", 285. Chance of winning, zero. Gaspard was at the gas station's drink cooler when he was approached by Felix, who told the hulking athlete to buy him a beer.
The hulking athlete?
Yeah, he would be hulking next to 5'8".
Hulk smash.
According to an affidavit provided by the Coral Springs police, when Gaspard refused to indulge the stranger's demand, Felix reached into the front of his waistband and brandished...
that's a hard word for you.
He brandished a black...
Brandished a...
And Branflaked a black semi-automatic style.
Well, that's racist.
Handgun. Are you trying to rob me? A witness overheard Gaspard say. It was the equivalent of trying to hit a pro wrestler with a flying forearm smash. Gaspard was furious.
Sorry, that was a little just for you there.
I thought I was at home for a minute.
Yes.
Gaspard was furious and made quick work of his unexpected opponent, according to the authorities.
Did he dispatch him?
Fearing he was about to be robbed, the victim lunged at the defendant, grabbed the weapon, and attempted to disarm him, police said. The daring defensive tactic worked. The confrontation...
The concentration?
It's like I've been eating super glue. Okay, the daring defense tactic worked.
Hey, you done with that super glue? can I score some?
The confrontation captured on...
This is pretty good stuff. Well, we shouldn't even be encouraging that.
I'm not.
Dude, you brought the super glue.
My lips are stuck.
I wish they were.
Can I start this paragraph over?
I wish you'd start your whole...
The daring defensive tactic worked. The confrontation, captured on store surveillance cameras, occurred in seconds and seemed to end with Gaspard retrieving the weapon, calmly walking toward the front of the store and placing the gun on the clerk's counter. But Gaspard wasn't finished with his opponents. No compelling wrestling match isn't complete without a climactic shakedown, after all. So what he did...
Smackdown.
What did I say? Shakedown?
You said shakedown.
Smackdown. So he walks... He actually clotheslined the dude in the parking lot. Guy hit the ground. Actually, he kind of body slammed him. You'll have to see... Maybe you, Mr. Webmaster, will post...
The guy that's 4 or 5 episodes behind right now?
Well, whatever. We're a podcast. We're not a web service.
That's... Got that right.
Yeah, mister.
Dang Skippy.
So, fine.
I think it's funny when people try to rob other people. Did you see? No, I don't think it's funny. I think it's funny when it goes wrong. I sent you a story this past week we cannot discuss on this show.
But
it was hysterical that this guy comes into, let's just say, a specialty store, tries to rob them, and they start taking the products off the shelf and pelting the guy with them until he runs out.
Certain store you wouldn't be allowed into unless you were 21 or over.
Right. And it was a funny story that we would not tell on this show, but it was funny because they picked up items that were nearby that they sold, and they started like throwing them at the guy.
Pelting the guy with them.
And what's funny is...
The whole thing's funny.
The lady said that she could tell that something wasn't right about the gun. It didn't look right. I'm thinking, well, it's a good thing you were pretty sure about that.
Yeah, really. Because otherwise. But she kind of shoved him at first. You know, kind of gave him a shove and then started pelting him.
I'm guessing the industry they're in, they're probably pretty bold.
Yeah, probably.
Hey, can I tell a story? One of your favorite places next to Taco Bell is McDonald's, right? You love McDonald's.
I had the worst service of my life at McDonald's last
you
night.
You love the McRib.
I almost went in and talked to a manager.
When?
Last night, our McDonald's.
Oh, well, that's not saying much. First of all, it's McDonald's. They're probably mad you're calling it McDonald's.
Anyway.
Second of all, it's a horrible location. I'm sorry. The guy that owns it's a nice guy, but it's all run by teenagers.
Ronald?
Yes. It's old man McDonald's boy.
That's right. That guy's a clown, man.
He is a clown. He's in big silly shoes. He's always happy, too. I'm a little convinced.
He never stops smiling.
Always convinced there's something up with
that
guy.
He likes smiling.
But this particular store is run by young kids, and it's always bad.
This was an elderly woman that really made me mad yesterday at the drive-thru.
Working there?
Why am I telling this to the world?
Because I'm about to tell a McDonald's story.
But we'll have this conversation. You know what? We'll go get blizzards after the podcast, and I'll tell you all about it.
You buying?
Yeah, I'm buying.
Okay.
I'm buying, I'm crying.
Okay, you'll be crying when I'm done. What? Hey, so here's the deal. I'm telling a McDonald's story,
yeah,
and that's why we got off on that story you were talking about.
Yeah.
McDonald's is sued because, quote-unquote, extra value meal
yeah.
is 41 cents more.
41 cents and nothing.
That's not a big deal.
You can reach into that little jar where they save for kids.
What are you trying to teach? We have kids that listen to the show, and you just said
it's
to the
right
kid,
there in front of the register.
It's for children
not
that need 41. Help.
They're not going to miss 41
it's,
cents.
First of all, it's got a slot. Your fingers don't go in the box. You can't
you
get in.
You got to shake it. You got to take it upside down.
You got to take a box cutter. You're the worst.
Just pry it open with a pocket knife. It works.
Okay, so in Chicago, Chi-Town.
Yeah.
We got a friend that's up there right now.
Do we?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Our friend, Dr. Jason.
That's right.
Anyway, a suburban Chicago man. It's important that he's suburban. You don't want one of these guys that dwell in the city.
You don't want an urban cowboy.
No. Suburban Chicago man is suing McDonald's restaurants in two Illinois counties.
Two separate ones.
Two separate ones. Arguing cheeseburger extra value meals are actually more expensive than when the items are purchased separately. Now, I could get behind this, okay?
That does kind of make sense. I'm suing them, too. I'm getting in on this lawsuit.
James Gertie of Des Plaines tells the Daily Herald, that's H-E-R-A-L-D, not some guy named Harold.
Hark, the Herald.
Hark some Herald. In Arlington Heights, Illinois, that bundling two cheeseburgers, medium French fries, and a drink at $5.90 is 41 cents more than when the individual items are purchased. So, James Gertie of Des Plaines, why don't you just buy those items individually?
Really? There's no lawsuit.
If you're so good at math, you should know that you could also buy them separately. Gertie, a bus driver,
He eats free. What's he complaining about?
Who says he eats free?
That McDonald's does. Says bus drivers eat free.
You made that up.
I did not make that up. You ask anybody.
Ronald?
Ask Ronald.
Gertie, a bus driver, says his lawsuit filed this month is about principle, not 41
cents. Is he suing for 41 cents?
Here's the deal. He's spending a lot of money to make a point over 41 cents. He seeks class action status for consumer fraud and deceptive practices lawsuit against McDonald's operator Caris Management. So... I will say this.
Say.
This. No, I will say this. You know, you would think with all the crazy, complicated algorithms, computers, and whatnot, that if you're going to set up a value meal,
yeah,
you would have the system double check because it can do it in a fraction of a second. Double check the prices.
We have computers.
Double check the prices.
Absolutely.
If I say I'm going to sell it for, what did he say,
$5.90.
$5.90. The computer would say... Well, beep, bop, boop. Hey, wait a second.
That's no value.
Beep, bop, boop. Danger, danger. Hey, y'all.
It's just easier to order a number two than to say I want two.
You're ordering a number two, all right.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, those foods are actually kind of poisoning and reprogramming our brains. So I'm thinking
that explains the foul mood I've been in all day.
Yes.
Oh, wait, I didn't have McDonald's.
I'm thinking about staying away from fast food in 2017.
What about Dairy Queen?
That's not fast food.
That is fast food.
That's food done right.
It's fast food.
No, it's
okay,
not.
As we said, plenty. You know,
and I'm not going to eat the food. I'm going to eat the ice cream.
Eventually, we're going to seduce DQ to come and be our sponsor. Are we not?
Because
we're going to keep talking to them. We keep talking about them all the time.
All I got to say is if our listeners have never had a Buster bar, do yourself a favor.
It's a peanut butter parfait. But here's the point I wanted to make.
Yeah.
You said fast food.
Yes.
A peanut butter parfait has to be prepared by the person.
Yeah.
A Buster bar is a peanut butter parfait that's already been made and ready
yeah,
to go.
It's
therefore,
ready to go.
It's fast food.
No, it's not. It's fast dessert. And there's a big difference.
You will talk your way out of
a paper bag.
You will talk your way out of a paper DQ paper bag.
Seriously, if you've never had a Buster bar, wowzers.
More
and make sure you get one that's not like
Let's not talk about it because they did it right.
Oh, are we under order?
No.
They did right by us.
Yeah,
they did. That's correct. I love DQ.
We do too.
It's like all
my personalities. We love
it. And they don't have anything bad.
They don't have nothing.
Although their funnel cakes are just funnel cookies.
They're more like funnel cookies.
Yeah.
And I think if they really searched their soul, they would see we were just being honest.
Oh, yeah.
We're not talking down to them.
I wouldn't lie to my wife.
How many people?
Lori?
Don't talk about Lori.
I wouldn't lie to your wife, Glenna.
Hey, listen, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's still Dairy Queen. Hey, why are we talking about this?
Because it's Dairy Queen.
You've got an alligator story to get to.
I do.
How many people have already switched channels if there were channels in podcast land?
There's channels. They could switch off of
they go to another Ace Podcast Network.
That's right. Maybe switch over to Beardy 5.
Do you think you guys listening, the 2-3 that are listening right now, could you just bear with us till we get this out of our system?
I feel better. And actually, I'm looking forward to let's cut this one short. We're going to get our blizzards.
All right. Well, that's another episode. We'll talk to you guys.
No. I got a headline here.
Okay.
Headline is pet alligator Rambo allowed to stay put in Polk County home.
I ain't going nowhere.
You know where this is from, Craig?
It's from Crazy Town,
Lakeland, Florida. A Lakeland homeowner no longer has to part ways with her beloved pet alligator. That doesn't make sense. Why would you have a pet that could eat you?
This isn't the lady that dresses her alligator up in outfits, right?
I don't know.
Here's the dealio. Okay, if this isn't the one, there is a lady
yeah.
that is sad because she talks about she lost her son or something.
Did the alligator eat him?
No, but she lost her son, and you can tell she's fixating like on the alligators, but she's dressing it up in little outfits.
If she lost her son, she should get a dog because they can sense smells, and maybe he could find him.
Well, that alligator could sense smells of meat right before you eat your arm off or something.
Yeah, right.
But my point was that she had to dress up in little, like wee little outfits and stuff, and it was like
every pair of shoes that animal owns are alligator shoes.
Human
alligator shoes.
I saw what you did there, but it's not funny.
I thought it was
How
funny.
How much talk about Rambo?
Rambo, he's family, said Mary Thorne. I love him like my family. Well, I feel that way about my dog, Charlie. We had a scare with Charlie.
Had a good week, though.
Whew.
It turned out good.
Thorne rescued Rambo, a gator almost 6 feet long, more than a decade ago. The two have been performing side by side for years. What are they doing? Hello, my darling. Hello, my baby. But change to state regulations threaten their future together. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conversion? We're going to convert that.
They converted the alligator to...
The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Commission.
Wow.
I'm going to start that one over.
Why don't you start this whole story over?
The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission previously stated gators that length must live on properties with at least 2.5 acres of land.
I think that's not
a really bad request, actually. State officials ruled this month that Thorne can keep her gentle giant.
Gentle giant.
All my kids are grown, the ones that survived. So all I have is my animals, said Thorne. That's what she said. All I have is my animals.
I got part of my kid's leg.
The FWC officials issued new conditions. Thorne must meet.
Did you say nude conditions?
No, not nude. No. That alligator can never wear clothes.
Never.
Thorne must meet them permanently to keep her pet permanently. Thorne is no longer allowed to showcase the trained gator in public. Well, that's terrible.
I'm thinking this must be the same lady, but they let her keep her alligator.
Effectively halting Rambo's appearances at
What's an appearance?
What is wrong with me?
whoa, that's a whole nother episode.
Effectively halting Rambo's appearances at conservation... I quit. Bye, y'all.
Rambo, who is potty trained and is often dressed up in costumes, has been teaching resource... I'm doing it now.
See? But he does dress
teaching
up.
Teaching resource for kids. What does that mean?
He's been a teaching resource for kids.
Oh, he's been a... I thought he's been teaching resource. I'm doing the same thing you're doing now.
They could have a gator.
You know what we need to do?
What?
Put the story down and walk away.
I thought it was good. All right.
Hey, I don't even know what this means, but I cannot wait to read this.
Go ahead. Why wait?
No, I'm actually waiting. Hold on. Let's see if I can really do it. One, two, three. No, I can't wait.
Okay, go.
Mummers. That's MUMMERS.
Oh, those are the... Oh, yeah.
Don't tell them yet. Okay. Because I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, I do.
They're making a comeback, whatever they are.
Don't call it a comeback. They've been here for years.
I don't know what this is yet. Every December in St. John's, Newfoundland,
yes,
people parade the streets wearing creepy masks,
yes,
fake horse heads,
yes,
and their underwear on the outside. That sounds like a couple of family reunions I've been to.
It sounds like a tradition I might start around here.
Yeah, this sounds like not a far cry from us already. Hi, I'm listening. The spectacle is all part of the Mummers Festival, which celebrates a once-banned centuries-old tradition in the province called mummering.
That sounds scary.
Mummering originated in England and Ireland, no doubt.
Yeah,
And that's right. The earliest record of it in Newfoundland dates to 1819, according to the Newfoundland and Labrador Heritage Project.
Those dogs love it.
During Christmas season, people would disguise their identities using a mishmash of household items.
This sounds fun.
Look, man. I'm a blender. And travel door to door to neighbors' homes. Would you like a milkshake? I'm a blender.
I've got my bun on my head, the coffee maker.
Neighbors would, look, I'm a curling iron. Neighbors would invite them in for impromptu parties with food and drinks, while attempting to identify the masked visitors.
Oh, how fun!
Somebody would just get stabbed now. Once an identity was determined, the mask came off,
and the gloves. Because the gloves are off.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
In an effort to preserve this quirky part of Newfoundland's culture, the first ever. I said Newfoundland.
Newfoundland.
It's Newfoundland.
Newfoundland.
You're the same guy who called. What was the place in Australia you kept calling?
Queens? No, that's New York.
Anyway, there was something you kept calling funny.
And, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think everything you say
Newfoundland.
Is funny. Everything you say is funny. And not in the right way.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, so the first ever Mummers Festival was born in 2009. I just walked away.
You did. Come back.
Okay. So the first ever was, I've been dealing with this itchy nose thing since we started.
I told you. Company's coming. Don't blame me.
I hope that dressed as a blender.
You had to burn the house down to get them out.
Oh, my gosh.
Dressed as a blender.
I got some newspapers ready. My friend from Vietnam gave me some papers.
Somebody with the underwear on their
papers?
Head.
We don't need your papers.
That's it.
Order?
When the Vietnamese Hitler, he was looking for the papers.
He said, I need you to burn that coat.
What? In an effort to preserve this quirky part of Newfoundland's, I'm saying Newfoundland's,
oh, go ahead,
culture, the first ever Mummers Festival was born in 2009 and is now going into its eighth year. The annual festival consists of numerous community events and culminates in the Mummers Parade. Canadian photographer, yeah, right, little shout out for Canada there. Darren, what'd you call him, Darren?
DC.
Is he the original Darren or the second one?
DC.
DC documents this cultural revival in his photo series, Mummers.
You gotta look that up.
His images show Newfoundlanders.
Newfoundlers.
It's not Newfoundland.
It's Newfoundler.
Newfoundlers.
Yeah, it's not Newfoundland.
Okay. Dressed in their best disguises. One woman wears a lampshade on her head.
I've done that. That's nothing new.
I was like, what the heck?
I saw you doing that just at the Christmas party.
Jeez Louise. And covers her face with a doily. One man covered in ribbons plays the part of the ribbon fool, a prankster in traditional mummery. I actually think I want to party with these people. The province has put their stamp on it, Calabrese said. That's the photographer from Canada.
Darren,
the first Darren or the second one.
Yeah.
In a celebration of the good, authentic parts of mummering. The reputation of mummering in Newfoundland, whatever you want to call it.
Newfoundland.
It's Newfoundland. That's what I said before.
Newfoundland.
Anyway, it's got a trouble pass. Ready?
Yeah.
The 1830s saw the first case of violence linked to mummering. In the following decades, excessive drinking and religious and political tensions began to fuel more mummering-related violence. That's hard to say, mummering-related violence.
Mummering.
According to the Heritage Project, after the alleged murder of a man named Isaac Mercer in 1861.
Oh, the famous Mercer murders.
That's old man Mercer's boy.
Yeah, sad.
Authorities in Newfoundland made a mummering festivities illegal, and the ban remained in place for most of the century. Although some aspects of mummering, can I say mummering one more time, please? Lived on through.
Just don't mumble mummering.
Even though it lived on through plays and community shows, it largely fell out of practice until the Newfoundland duet, Simani's The Mummering Song.
I know we're
queuing at the end of this episode. Became popular in 1983. The song revived an interest in mummering along Newfoundlanders, and the practice. I'm not going to say Newfoundlanders anymore. I'm going to say
Newfoundlers.
I want to say something else, but it sounded wrong. So I'm going to say. And the practice began to take off again. The Canadian dude we talked about said mummering of today has been transformed from Christmas's past. He attributes this change to new whatevers, struggling economy, which has led many people to believe their neighborhoods, leave their neighborhoods for a better job. I'm at the point now, I'm just bored with the story.
The story is too long, Craig.
It really does go on.
It does.
Basically, it's still going. So, but essentially, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Let's unpack this.
Okay.
There's this jacked up, lithium-induced, some kind of, I don't know.
Mummering
thing. Like what did they take in the 1800s? Wasn't like a morphine. What did they take? Poppy seeds. They took, what was the stuff in... in Gothic, the movie, Mary Shelley took it. What was the stuff they were taking?
Yeah, so did Edgar Allan Poe. He was big on it.
So that stuff we don't remember.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have to.
I'll remember it as soon as we walk out of here.
As soon as we leave. So they take
opium.
Opium. Thank you. Man, I feel so much better. Is that what you're taking now?
Yeah, you want some?
So they obviously took a lot of opium. They came with this idea of like, hey, Steve, why don't you put that lampshade in your head and let me figure out if it's you.
Oh, it is you.
Oh, it is you, because I told you to put
the
lampshade.
Take it off.
Take it off. Oh, hey, Steve.
When'd you get here?
And they decided to just walk around putting random objects like a mask on their faces. And then you'd go house to house, some kind of social experiment. And people would invite you in. They'd guess who you were. And then the mask came off and you were in the party.
Yeah. Exactly. And if nobody guessed, you got to walk around the party with your underwear outside your clothes. Happy.
Again.
Lampshades.
Not really outside of the regular.
Right. That's pretty
day
much
in the life here.
Yeah. Welcome to our small town. All right. Well, that's about going to wrap us up, Craig. Next episode.
Wrap it up.
You know what our next episode?
I'll take it.
Next episode is going to be our New Year's special.
There's nothing special about us.
We're going to do a review of 2016, two middle-aged dudes style. Find some of the craziest stories from 2016. We're gonna look at death. Because 2016 has been vicious. It's been vicious.
But we're trying to be a little funny here, and it's kind of hard to be funny when you've lost.
That's true. We've lost some national.
We just lost George Michael. We just lost
Princess Leia.
Princess Leia.
She gone. She went on in.
We lost the guy.
The force was not with her,
apparently. You know, I've been posting recently. You know, the Heat Miser guy just died. That's one of my favorite new my Christmas song. Did you see my new favorite Christmas song?
Yes, I did.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
I didn't listen to it because
it's
a Christmas song.
No, it'll be your third favorite Christmas song.
Okay,
When we're off here in a minute, I'll let you listen to
it. I'll give it a shot.
I guarantee it.
Because there's a young lady at work that I've spoken of before who wanted me to listen to Jangle Bells. You know Becca.
Yo, Becca.
Becca,
number one fan.
Yeah, Becca. Jangle Bells.
I don't like that.
Not Jungle Bells, not Jingle Bells, but Jangle Bells.
That makes me uncomfortable.
It was a funny little song, but it's Christmas.
Okay, so people are asleep now.
Okay, so anyway, check us out on our Ace Podcast.
Check us out.
Go to acepodcastnetwork.com and check out all the shows, not just us.
And don't forget, you can also go to...
Oh, that reminds me.
What?
I found out something.
What?
The Beardy Five?
Uh-huh.
They're not from Alabama.
Where are they from?
North Carolina.
What the hey?
It doesn't fit, does it?
No.
I thought you were going accents.
And also, I thought you were going to mention our brand flake.
I am. I'm getting to that. Give me a minute.
We're running out of time.
I want to apologize to Jess and Sid over at North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah, the Beardy Five.
Because you kept saying Alabama.
Yes.
It's because you got a fixation with Alabama.
I do love Alabama because Auburn is Alabama.
You came from Alabama.
With a banjo on my knee.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad you remember that.
You came with a bandage on your knee.
Okay, and by the way, Craig.
Yes.
The winner of the Two Middle-Aged Dudes t-shirt.
Brandflake.
Christmas episode.
Brandflake.
Brandflake.
Our good friend Brandon.
You know who that is?
Brandon.
Brandon Fraser.
Brandon Fraser.
And I'm going to give everybody...
He's one of the hippest...
You know what?
He's one of the hippest cats we know.
You know, we're getting 100, 150 listens per episode, and I think all of our listeners would like to congratulate him, so I'm going to give out his private phone number right now.
Okay,
here we go.
Okay.
Area code is... I'm just kidding, Brandon. I wouldn't do that.
555-867-5309.
Yes.
I got it.
Good.
I got it. Hey, Brandon, I got your number off the wall. This just got really weird.
Weird.
You know what, though? He would appreciate it.
So I asked him for his shirt size because, you know,
he's medium,
medium, large.
Probably girl small.
Something. He's not a. He's a tall guy.
Yeah.
But everybody is.
He's a stand-up guy.
He is a stand-up guy. I love that guy.
I'll
just say it right now.
Say, you're scared.
So he said he didn't know how these fit, so send him an extra large.
You said you put your arms and your head through them.
I said.
That's how they fit.
So I called him a name. And you know what he did? He posted Christmas music videos you on my Facebook page all day long.
You deserved it. You don't talk that way about him.
So anyway, Brandon, your shirt may or may not be coming to you. You know what I'm saying?
And what a good guy to win.
I know.
I'm
glad
so excited. We love you, man.
But everybody else still has a chance because we're giving something else away in January.
Yeah, we are. A brand new car.
No, we're not giving away a car.
We're giving away a Prius.
No, we're not. I'm not sure what we're giving away yet, but it'll be something cool. So keep those reviews coming in. You'll be entered in our monthly contest for a two middle-aged dudes prize.
We should get those Uncle Rico photo sessions and get pictures
of
us.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And sign them and give those away.
Yeah, nobody would enter.
Nobody. That's so true.
So anyway.
All right, we're out of here.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Don't seem like Christmas if the mummers are not here. Granny would say as she'd knit in her chair. Things have gone modern, and I suppose that's the cause. Christmas is not like it was.
Keep over down here!
Hark, what's the noise out by the porch door? Granny, tis mummers, there's 20 or more. Her old withered face brightens up with a grin. Any mummers, nice mummers, loud in. Come in, lovely mummers, don't bother the snow. We can wipe up the water, sure, after you go. Sit, if you can, or on some mummer's knee. Let's see if we know who you be. There's big ones and small ones and tall ones and thin. Boys dressed as women and girls dressed as men. Humps on their backs and mitts on their feet. My blizzard, we'll die with the heat. There's only one there that I think that I know. That tall fella standing o'er alongside the stove. He's shaking his fist for to make me not tell. Must be Willie from out on the hill.
Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review it within your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us on Twitter at 2MADAAM or on Facebook at Two Middle-Aged Dudes. Our website is 2dudes.stream. That's the number 2dudes.stream. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com.